Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning on another rainy day. We're just clicking right along on rainy Sundays this year so far, but we're glad that you're here, and we hope that we can, with our song and the word, brighten what is a rainy day outside. So much going on in the life of our congregation right now. It's a joy to be part of. We hope you will remember that we're in the midst of the Lenten season, and that means we have Wednesday night Lenten services and meals, with the meal starting at 5:45, and then a 30-minute worship service starting at 6:30. I think there are about 50 of us here on Wednesday night, so it's a good time for some more fellowship and another opportunity to worship. So join us on those if you're able. I also put in the bulletin, if you're looking for a way to observe your Lent, and you're not able to be with us on Wednesday nights, there is a Wednesday Lenten service put on by the Greater Lexington Area Ministers Association, and those are happening at noon at First Lutheran Church this year. So those trade out, and a different denomination leads those every week, so that's another good way to connect with the community. I know there are some things I'm supposed to announce that I'm not remembering. Minnie shared with me that World Day of Prayer is this Friday, and that we're invited to join the folks at New Friendship for a World Day of Prayer service on Friday evening, and we think it's at 7. What other announcements? Yes, sir, Chip.
Men's group 6:30 instead of 7 tomorrow.
The men are not meeting tomorrow at 7. They are meeting tomorrow at 6:30 to accommodate a speaker going to be with us. That's right. Other announcements we should share?
The Rats for the Kids.
May 26th is going to be the motorcycle ride for the kids to raise funds for our backpack program this year. So put that on your calendar for May if you ride, or if you know people that do, or if you have somewhere that you can hang a flyer that somebody will see it. Talk with Wendy, and when those things come out, she'll get them to you. But May the 26th, and hope you can be a part of it in some way. I think I'm going to be able to be there this year, which has not happened yet, so I'm excited. I overheard a conversation this morning that our women's groups who help staff our funeral meals, when we have funerals and provide a meal out here, we've gotten to the point where they're all going to sort of chip in and contribute to that cause. If that is something that you would like to contribute to, certainly that's an option too. You could just designate your gift for funeral meals, and we would gladly make sure that gets to the right place. Other announcements this day. I'm not aware of prayer shawls this morning. So we'll wish happy birthday today to James, to Bonnie, to Joanne, to Tim, Harold, Steve, Chance, and Leah. And happy anniversary to Chip and Ann, to Andy and Crystal, and to Scott and Donna. Are there other folks we should add to that list? Let's pray for those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And one announcement I did neglect is that we're having a congregational meeting today, and hopefully you knew about that before you walked in, but if you didn't, now you're trapped. It shouldn't take long at all, just a couple of quick items, but we'll, at the end of the service, just stay where we are, and Neil will frolic up here and get our meeting going, and we'll be out of here. We're going to look for that, Neil. Yeah, I'm going to pay for that one later, right? We stand as we begin our worship on page 94 in the front of your book. During the season of Lent, we'll use the form on the right-hand side of the page. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Let us pray. Holy God, through your Son, you have called us to live faithfully and act courageously. Keep us steadfast in your covenant of grace, and teach us the wisdom that comes only through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated. If the children will join me for the children's message. Good morning, guys and gals. How's everybody? Doing okay? Come on up. Do you guys know how to follow the leader? Have you heard of that game?
Yeah.
Okay. Basically, it goes like this. I'm going to be the leader, and the things I do, I want you guys to do, okay? That's how follow the leader works. You do what the leader does. So, first, let's everybody stand up on this bottom step all the way down on the floor. Sorry, all the way down on the floor. We're going to stand right there. Now, okay, so I'm the leader, and you guys are going to follow me all the way down on the floor, please. Perfect. Okay, now, here's what I want you to do. I'm the leader, so everybody, let's pat our heads. Okay, good. You guys are good at this. Okay, now, everybody, rub your belly. Okay. Now, pat your head and rub your belly. Oh, that's kind of hard.
Yeah.
It is really hard. Okay, everybody, stomp one foot. Now stomp the other foot. Now do a little hand action. All right, now blow everybody out there a kiss. Mwah. Okay, perfect. You can sit down. You guys are really good at the follow the leader game. The reason we're playing that game is, in that game, you do what the leader does, right? You follow along after the leader. Who is our leader, would you say?
Me.
Sometimes we think it's us, Conrad, but it's not. Our leader is God, that's right. And when we think about following our leader, the way that we think about that is following Jesus, okay? So we want to try to be like Jesus and to follow Jesus, which means, can anybody think of anything that Jesus did we should maybe follow? Let me help you out. Jesus fed people who were hungry. Jesus took people who were sick, and he cared for them and helped them to feel better. And those are kind of hard things to do when you're little. But you know what else Jesus did? Jesus ate with people who nobody else wanted to eat with, and he was kind to them. Do you guys think that that ever happens in your lives, in, like at school? Are there people who nobody eats with and people aren't nice to? Sometimes, maybe? What I want you guys to try to do this week is to try to follow Jesus by being kind to somebody who people aren't kind to, okay? Maybe that would be if there's a kid at school that nobody eats with, you could try to eat with him, or to be nice to somebody who's mean to you. Those are the kinds of things that Jesus, our leader, did. And so for us to follow Jesus, we're gonna follow Jesus by being kind to each other. Are you with me on that? I feel like we're maybe not quite clear on that. Follow the leader, everybody. Follow the leader. Follow the leader. Conrad, psst. Follow the leader. Follow the leader. Okay, we're going to keep doing this. Keep following me, okay? Follow the leader. All right, this week, I need you guys to follow the leader by being kind to somebody, okay? Being kind to somebody at school, or somebody in your class, or somebody that you see at home. I need you to be kind to somebody. Can you do that? Follow the leader. Yes. Okay, very good. Let's pray, please.
Lord God,
help us to follow you,
and to be kind.
Amen. Thank you. Okay. If you're headed to Children's Church, you can line up over here at the door, or you're welcome to go back and sit with your parents.
The first reading comes from the book of Genesis. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will make you exceedingly numerous." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you." God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of peoples shall become from her." The word of the Lord. Psalms for today will be Psalms 22, be read by whole verse responsibly. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him.
The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. To him, indeed, shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, and I shall live forever. And proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that he has done it. The second reading comes from the book of Romans. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. It is the adherents of the law who are to be their heirs. Faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, "it was reckoned to him," were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what profit will it gain? For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Seated. In. Jesus tells the disciples and the crowd, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." And from this passage about taking up your cross, we get the well-meaning advice that you may have been offered, or you may have even offered somebody else from time to time. Well, that's just your cross to bear, which seems to mean Jesus didn't complain, and he had it so much worse. Or maybe, this is just temporary, but God offers eternal life, so figure out how to deal with it now and know that it won't be forever. Probably it means both of those things at the same time even. And then there's the other way that this phrase gets used, right? Not as something that somebody tells you, but as something you might tell yourself, like a mantra to encourage or sustain yourself. Well, yes, this unfortunate thing happened in my life, but this is just my cross to bear. All of these might be completely fine sentiments, but they don't have much to do with what Jesus is talking about. Because what Jesus is talking about here was the fact that the ministry he came for, the good news that he proclaimed, he was talking about the fact that it was going to be unpopular, that it would make people angry, that it would get him killed. And not just killed in a end your life kind of way, but killed in a torturous, make an example out of you, humiliating kind of way. That's the reality that Jesus talks about here, that if anybody wants to follow him, they need to know that the cross is where this road ends up. About 5 years ago at seminary, I got on a scale at a party. I don't remember what we were doing with the scale out at the party, but I got on, and I remember being shocked at what I saw, because I expected to weigh about 180 pounds, and I didn't know when the last time I'd been on the scale was, but instead I weighed 155 pounds. And of course, my mom had been saying for months that I look thin, but you know, I was always fairly thin, I thought, and she was just overly prone to worrying, which she probably is. But 25 pounds is a lot, not to know that you've dropped and not to know why. So I went to the doctor, and after some blood work, I found out that I had a hyperactive thyroid caused by a condition called Graves' disease. And after trying to treat it with medications for a while, the end result was that my thyroid was just out of control and it needed to be killed. So they gave me a cocktail of radioactive iodine to drink on Valentine's Day and told me not to be within 3 feet of anybody for the next few days. And it did the trick. My thyroid was obliterated by the radiation, is no more. And so now, every day, I take a synthetic thyroid hormone to replace what my body would have been making naturally. And the reason that I bring any of this up is to say, this is not my cross to bear. Was it unfortunate? Absolutely. Do I wish that it hadn't happened? You bet I do. And I know that many of you have suffered through much worse than my little one pill a day affliction. Illness, pain, loss. It's there in some form or another in all of our lives. And there are ways that we can handle these things faithfully and well or not, right? But when Jesus talks about picking up the cross and following him, he's not talking about the fact that in the course of normal life we have to bear hardships that arise from unforeseen circumstances. That's just sort of a given. If you live long enough, you encounter difficulties, right? That's just the way it happens. What Jesus talks about is the fact that if we want to be followers of Jesus, that means opening ourselves up to hardship that is not simply random and unfortunate, but hardship that happens because of the fact that we're following Jesus. Because of the fact that Jesus is often unpopular, even among folks who might tell you that they want to follow Jesus too. Peter is the prime example here, right? Peter, who is sort of the de facto leader of the disciples, Peter, who has just been praised for correctly naming Jesus as the Messiah, that same Peter, when it comes to actually following the path that Jesus lays out, the path that leads to suffering, rejection, and death, Peter gets all bent out of shape, and he rebukes Jesus. But Jesus is insistent. Jesus is clear. Jesus is focused. If you want to be my follower, he says, this is what it means. take up your cross and follow. Which is to say that following Jesus means that all other priorities become secondary. And that's all of them. Even the self-preservation one becomes secondary. Take up your cross is not an invitation to throw our lives away with reckless behavior, but it is an invitation to give our lives away for the sake of following Jesus. And I know we have a hard time thinking like this, thinking in terms of giving away our lives, but it's a question of what matters most to us. Because if what I value more than anything else in the whole cosmos is this life and this body, well, then the path for me is clear. It's the path that keeps me out of the way of any potential harm. It's the path on which I go to all possible lengths to preserve my life, to extend it, whatever the cost may be. But if what we value more than anything is the eternal life of Jesus, well, then at that point, our priorities necessarily change, right? This life and this body becomes secondary to following Jesus, even if that means following him to the cross. My seminary ethics professor put it something like this. We're all going to die. And as hard as it is to think about, that's not just you. Your children, your grandchildren, they're going to die too. That part is inevitable. So the real question becomes, if we're all going to die, what do we want to die for? If we are going to follow Jesus, well, what he died for seems to be proclaiming and ushering in the kingdom of God. And for him, that looked like feeding the hungry, working healing and restoration for those cut off from community, forgiving sins, casting out demons, and raising the dead. That seems to be what Jesus died for. Would that be something, I wonder, worth us living and dying for? The good news that we proclaim with Jesus is that death is not the end for those whom God claims. Jesus' story does not end at the cross, and neither does ours. The Son of Man must undergo great suffering, be rejected, be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. And that last bit, the rising again, that makes us bold. Bold enough to proclaim that Jesus has defeated death. Bold enough to make following Jesus even more important than survival. Bold enough to faithfully serve God and others, even when it puts me and you at a disadvantage or perhaps even in danger, because we are confident that death is not what holds ultimate power. Sisters and brothers, we are not called to be reckless with God's gift of life, to throw it away, but neither are we called to protect our lives at any cost. What we are called to is to give our lives away for the sake of the gospel. We're called to follow Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Please join in saying what we believe in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Renewed in the promises of baptism, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Gracious Lord, we pray
for your church. Make us bold to proclaim your love. Give us courage to carry the cross that confronts us each day for the sake of the gospel. Strengthen all who minister in your name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for the world which you made, for streams and still waters, for parks and wilderness reserves, for pastures and forests. Instill within us a reverence for the earth as your creation and our fragile home. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for the nations of the world. Teach us to honor our common humanity within diversity. Turn enemies into friends. Lead us away from hatred, fear, and misunderstanding, and show our hearts the way to peace as you fill us with your compassion. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for those in need. We lift up people whose struggles we often fail to acknowledge. We pray for those who leave their homes and their families in search of safety or employment. We pray for those who grieve and for all who are ill. Especially we lift up Burnett, Jane, Marshall, Bobby, Jana, Madeline, Barbara, Bill and Betty, the family of Steve, Harold, Marshall and Billie Jean, Billy, Gracie, the family of Emily, Alice, David, Scott, Jeff, the family of Bob, Chuck, Ricky Ann, Boyd, the family of Mike, Elena and Kelly, David and Kelly, the family of Dorothy, Brianna, the family of Kay, Brad, David, Judy, and all those we name now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for this assembly, for those who prepare this space for worship, for ministries of fellowship and hospitality, for those preparing for baptism or confirmation, and for all who provide care and support to those who are homebound. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Trusting in your covenant of mercy, O God, we lift our prayers to you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
We share a sign of Christ's peace.
pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
The gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Mercy, O God.
We stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We'll say together our mission statement. As united people of God,
as we start this meeting, I just want to start out with a little bit of humor. Our first council meeting in January, it was kind of a pitiful sight. If you were there, you had Caroline in a brace, couldn't move. Dean wasn't with us. His next day was replacement surgery. My surgery was on Friday. If we'd have been a stable of horses, we would have mercifully been put down. Thanks to your prayers, surgeons, God's healing touch, and time, I can safely report that our next council meeting will all be standing proudly, without pain. I'd like to open this semi-annual meeting of Holly Grove Lutheran Church. Purpose of approving our financial reports and the blue book. Does anybody have anything to say about this? Motion. Got a motion over here.
And a second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion on the financial reports and audits? All in favor say aye of approving them.
Aye.
Any opposed? Audits are carried. Where's my good pastor? The endowment committee representative by our constitution, one person is voted on to it. Am I correct?
This year.
One person voted on to it this year. Crystal Ferguson has been nominated to be that representative. Do we have any nominations from the floor? Anybody have anything to say about nominations?
He's fishing for a motion.
Motion to close the nominations and that Crystal Ferguson be the representative for the endowment committee. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Congratulations, Crystal. It was a landslide.
The only other piece of business we have is I'll invite anybody on the council to join us as we officially install those council members for this year. If you'll join us up here, please. So these people and some whom we'll install in absentia this morning have been elected by you to positions of leadership, and we give thanks for their willingness to serve. In baptism, we are welcomed into the body of Christ and sent to share in the mission of God. We rejoice now that these sisters and brothers will lead us in our common life and our mutual mission as a congregation. So now to you all who serve, let me back up so I can see you all. You have been elected to positions of leadership and trust in this congregation. You are to see that the words and deeds of this household of faith bear witness to God, who gathers us into one together with the whole church. You are to seek to involve all members of this congregation in worship, learning, witness, service, and support, so that the mission of Christ is carried out in this congregation, in the wider church, in this community, and in the whole world. You are to be faithful in your specific area of serving, that the Spirit who empowers you may be glorified. You are to be examples of faith, active in love, fostering peace, harmony, and mutual understanding in this congregation. So, on behalf of your sisters and brothers in Christ in this congregation, Marcus and I ask you, will you accept and faithfully carry out the duties of the offices to which you have been elected? If so, if you'll answer together, I will, and I ask God to help me. People of God in the congregation, I ask you, will you support these, your elected leaders? Will you share in the mutual ministry that Christ has given to all who are baptized? If so, we will and we ask God to help us. We will and we ask God to help us. I now declare you installed as council members and officers of this congregation. Almighty God bless you and direct your days and your deeds in peace, that you may be faithful servants of Christ. Amen. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.